Good afternoon. We continue now with Man Was Not Born to Cry. This is chapter 10, The Meaning of Prayer. Now, after today, we'll have two more chapters left, and we will have completed this series of talks. This chapter could also have been called We Live in Our Own Consciousness, Our Own State of Consciousness. And at this point, you might not see how the two things connect. We live in our own consciousness and the meaning of prayer, but as we go along, you will see. And down here on page 157 of my book, it says, whatsoever we mete out, that is what is going to be measured back to us. Not by God, but by our own sins, by our own state of consciousness. It is the state of consciousness that we express that returns to us. Now, if you remember, last week we talked about spiritual dominion through practicing our Christhood, through pouring out, through consciousness expressing. And so we're continuing the theme with our state of consciousness that we express is that which returns to us. You see, we're moving out of humanhood, that state of existence which lives as a victim. Well, he did that, or she did that, or the government this, or the economics this, or the weather this, or the germs that. Victims. We're moving into our Christhood, into that state of consciousness which says, I can lay it down or I can pick it up again. I can move in and out of this world. And nothing in heaven or on earth is greater than I am. But you see, we have to live by certain principles in order to prove that truth. And so, he says here, when we pray for daily bread, we are praying for Christly substance, or invisible spiritual substance, praying for the Spirit of God to be in us. Now, another way in which we are making the transition from humanhood to Christhood is, you're not the Son of God unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. In fact, let's just say it outright. You are not the Son of God. The Spirit of God dwelling in you, the conscious awareness of the presence, your consciousness is the Son of God. No human being is ever the Son of God, but consciousness is the Son of God. Now you see, the ancients did not seem to have a word for consciousness. They felt it, but they called it spirit. And so, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, then are you the Son of God. If so be that the consciousness of God's presence dwells in you, then you are the Son of God. And so we're making the transition from a thinking, feeling, plotting, and planning human being to the consciousness of the presence of God. And it's an inner shift. And prayer plays a vital role. And so he begins by telling us that when we pray for bread, we're not praying for things or circumstances or conditions. We are praying for the invisible spiritual substance, for the consciousness of God's presence. And he gives a little prayer here. Not so that you can repeat this prayer, but so you can get a feel for the spirit or the humility of this prayer. Father, even though I know that the kingdom of God is within me, reveal it to me now. If I have forgotten this great truth, if the mesmerism of human living has separated me from it, open my eyes that I may see, open my ears that I may hear. And this is praying for the consciousness. On the next page, he says, the whole basis of prayer in the infinite way is that we cannot pray for anything to come to us. But we can pray that the kingdom of God, which is within us, find expression and outlet through us. Now, this is very important to Joel while he was on earth, and even now, I feel, he continues to say, you must pour out. You must stand in your Christhood. You must serve. You must give. You must love. You must forgive. You must bless. You cannot get supply, he says over and over. Supply must pour out through you. And we kind of all shake our heads and nod and smile and then wonder and worry about where the rent's going to come from. Now you see, he's not saying this as beautiful poetic statements. He's saying this as a concrete spiritual principle that we have to stand on, live by, act on. We have to act out from this consciousness. Then we are the Son of God. But we only prove it. We only prove that we are the Son of God by acting out from this consciousness. Or if you prefer, we have two choices. Either the mind forms itself as duality. The mind feels it is separate. It's my mind, my intelligence, my body, my life, and there's you over there. Either we act out from that, which of course has to protect itself and has to provide for itself and self, full-time job. We either see the mind forming itself as duality, as good today and bad tomorrow, and keep incarnating into that sense of existence, that universal sense of self, or we come up higher and we begin to live out as the conscious awareness of omnipresence expressing itself. You see the transition, the difference? But we can't make that transition if we're afraid. You might even ask God to remove your fear in order that you might feel that omnipresence. Which is really what he said here when he says, if the mesmerism of human living or if fear has separated me, open my eyes, you know, remove my fear so I can see. Anyway, we're making an internal transition. And you can look. You can look with your eyes and see who's living out from consciousness and who's still living out a human sense of life. And so when he begins to say, by saying that we live in our own state of consciousness expressing, well, we do. We either live in a sense of humanhood, which is a universal sense, or we live in a consciousness of omnipresence. And it shows. It shows. You can't hide it. All right, so he explains how if some form of good is given to us, we can't hang on to it. It's not the fruitage of our consciousness, and therefore it's not permanent. We see that in people that win the lottery. They win $3.5 million. You'd think they'd be set for life, but if you follow them, as we all know, 2 or 3 years later, they're broke. Not a penny. Barely able to make ends meet. Why? Because it was added to them from out here. It wasn't their developed consciousness out picturing. So he says, that which we bring forth from within our own consciousness, we will never lose. As a matter of fact, we will take it with us when we leave this scene. Now, does that mean if I outpicture, if my consciousness expresses itself as a beautiful two-story colonial home in New England with a bank account worth $3 million, that I'll take that with me into the next scene? No, of course not. It means I take the developed state of consciousness which produced that, or which is outpicturing and appearing as that. I take that consciousness with me into the next scene. Therefore, whithersoever thou goest, I will go. I is not Jesus. I is not even God. I is your infinite, invisible spiritual consciousness, which is God, but not a separate God. You take that with you, and so if you come back, it will outpicture again. It's yours forever. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's not God talking to you. That's your own consciousness, which, again, really is God. There is no separate God. No separate God. If you're still praying to a separate God, you're praying from a human state of consciousness, a universal sense of self, which is why your prayers are not answered. And so we're going to get into the correct way to pray. Pray from consciousness, not from a human sense of self. Pray as the Son of God, and your prayers will be answered. Which is what "in my name" means. Ask what you will in my name. Now here's something that's just unfolding to me this very second. Ask what you will in my name means, in consciousness, in the Son of God consciousness, in the consciousness of the presence of God, and the conscious awareness of the presence of God. If you pray from your humanhood, you're praying from a universal sense of a personal self, praying to a God out there somewhere. Even if you're praying to a God in here somewhere, separate from yourself, your prayers will not be answered. You must pray in my name, in my consciousness. You must pray from Christhood. And God always answers Christ. For Christ and God are one. So how do you pray from your Christhood? What sort of prayer does Christ pray? And that's what this chapter is about, and that's what we're going to be talking about. And so, it is the spiritual treasures which we have laid up in our consciousness through prayer that we carry with us wherever we go. And those treasures will ensure that our entry into the next life experience will be on a higher plane than the level on which we came into this one. Yes, if we make this transition from a human praying to Christ praying, we shall enter into the joy of our Lord, on a higher level. Now he reminds us, God does not enter the human scene until an individual returns to him. And so we are warned, if you do not abide in the Word, if you do not let this Word abide in you, you will be cast forth as a branch and be withered. This is the state of humanhood, living out from a sense of duality, from a universal sense of a personal self. And this state of duality, in this state of humanhood, in this personal sense of self, you are withered, because there's nothing behind you. You're a shadow on a wall, a nothingness. Those prayers can't be heard because they're prayed to a fictitious God somewhere. But standing in your Christhood, when the Word does abide in you, what happens then? Well, he says, we either abide in the Word of God and let the Word of God abide in us, or we are cut off. And it makes no difference whether we are humanly good. Yes, you must get all those religious ideas. You must cast them out. The spiritual path has nothing to do with being humanly good. Now, be honest. You know you've said this to yourself. I've done my very best. Why is this happening? This is the person being humanly good, but they still haven't learned to pray correctly. Paul says, you ask amiss. You pray amiss. Why? Because you're praying out from a human state of consciousness, even a good human state of consciousness. And it's still a sense of separation. You're still not attached to the vine. You're not standing in your Christhood. The only prayer that is ever answered is that prayer which is uttered from your Christhood. Now, I just received that, or heard that message at the same time you did. It passed through me. I'm hearing this for the first time. The only prayer that is ever answered is the prayer that is uttered from your Christhood. Well, we learned last week that we have to stand in that Christhood and pour out of the invisible into the visible. Now we're learning it's only while standing in that Christhood that we are able to pray. And so we are making a transition from humanhood to Christhood. We are learning how to put off mortality and put on our own immortality. God fills all space, it is true, says Joel, but God is available only where the presence of God is maintained in consciousness and where contact is made with it. You see, you must stand in your Christhood to make that contact. So he says, when we know how to pray, all of God's grace will manifest itself in our life. And so if you do not have God's grace manifesting, you have not fulfilled the condition. You have not first stood in your Christhood before you started to pray. Wherever a person makes contact with the Spirit of God, says Joel, he is anointed not necessarily to do healing work. Some will comfort, some will support and supply, some will bless in other ways, but in one way or another, everyone who has been ordained of God and who has received the Spirit of God in him is at the same time ordained to bless and bring blessings to others. Why? Why is that so? Because when the Spirit of God enters you, when consciousness flows, you are the Son of God. You are God in expression. And that grace takes form. And not only does it appear as every good and perfect gift, it appears as blessings and love and supply and support and forgiveness flowing through you to others. As human beings, we do not receive the blessings of God until at some moment of our experience, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Then do we become the children of God. And then prayer becomes an acknowledgement. I thought that was interesting, because we have read over the years in the Infinite Way books, and perhaps elsewhere, that true prayer is an acknowledgement of that which is. But the human being taking a statement of Scripture into the mind and agreeing with it or affirming it is not the same as what he's talking about here. Because the human being can't pray aright. You must stand in your Christhood to pray. And when you stand in your Christhood, you become aware of that spiritual presence, that which is, and you simply acknowledge it by resting in it. It's an inner experience. It's not a thought. It's not on the level of the mind, because that would be humanhood. It's an awareness as you stand in your Christhood, the consciousness of the presence of God flows. You feel it. And standing in your Christhood, you acknowledge it. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And that's enough. That is true prayer. We saw him do that, didn't we? Remember? A lot of people standing around. Well, I don't usually do this, but because of the people standing around, I will say a prayer. So, thank you, Father. He was standing in his Christhood, and the prayer was answered. Now, when we have prayed that kind of prayer, we can rest. What kind of prayer? The prayer of acknowledgement. When we have stood in our Christhood and become aware of the presence, we can rest. Then we can listen for a moment as the answer comes from within. Something wells up from within and brings the assurance that the Word of God is true and that there is a presence that is ever within us. Now, we're going to get into that even more, or ever more deeply here as the chapter progresses, but I wanted to point out this line here, because it's beautiful, really. It says, "There is no beginning to God, and there is no ending to God. God's work is done." Now, if you take that into your contemplation, it really makes the human being spin. Makes the human mind go tilt. Why? Because the human mind is living out from a sense of separation. Here I am, I don't have this. If I go to God, perhaps I can manifest it. Yet we read, there's no beginning to God and no ending to God. God's work is done. Well, if God's work is done, does that not tell you that there's nothing you need to go to God for? We had a talk about that once upon a time called Do Not Pray to God. I know that sounds almost blasphemous, doesn't it? And yet, if you go to God for something, you're living from that state of humanhood. And the basis that you're operating from is a withered branch, not connected to the vine, praying to a fictitious imaginary God. It's kind of pitiful, really. But that's the way many of us make our first attempts at returning to the Father consciousness. And if the drive is there, we will find the right way to pray, which is what we're going to describe today. And so, if God's work is done, there's no beginning and no end. I cannot influence God. I can't influence Him. There's no sense going and saying, Now look. My wife is really sick. I love her. Please, God, please. You see? The whole basis is from a universal sense of a separate self. That prayer cannot be answered. There's no such self. There's no such God. There's no such universe. It is mind appearing. A mind unaware of the presence of God, or a human. A mind unaware of the presence of God is Bill Smith, or Tom Jones, or Mary Applegate. It's a person, but it's a universal sense of a person. It's not the Son of God that God made. So its prayers can never be answered. Well, we must move out of that. Stand in our Christhood. And standing in our Christhood, we become aware. We become the conscious awareness of the living presence. Then, there's nothing left but to rest and say thank you. And that prayer is answered, because consciousness then flows through and manifests itself. Or consciousness then awakens us to that which already is. Either way you say it, it's a spiritual experience, and it's one of fulfillment. So he says, when there seems to be an absence of health or harmony, wholeness, completeness, or perfection, our attitude should not be that God is withholding any of these, but rather should we accept the fact a sense of separation has sprung up. Yes, we see through a universal sense of a personal separate self. But when the Spirit comes and flows into consciousness, what does it do? Does it give us a new house, a new car? Does it give us a new body? Does the conscious awareness of the presence of God give us a new companion? No, you know better than that. That, again, is a sense of separation. That's not what happens at all. When the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the conscious awareness of God is upon us, it dissolves this sense of separation. It dissolves it. It breaks the hypnotism. And it reveals, I am. God is. All is well. And we rest and we say, thank you, Father. God is. And that inner knowing forms itself as the need fulfilled. So then we are back in the kingdom of God within, and we are reestablished in our oneness. Now he says the human mesmerism brought about by accepting the belief in two powers, two selves, two worlds, two universes, has created a sense of separation, but it's only a sense of separation. And at times, it's so great, he says, it makes us feel that God is a billion miles away, upward, and we are a billion miles away, downward, and there's no possibility of spanning the gap. So then we have to go back within ourselves, where we shall find the kingdom of God. And he gives you a little prayer here that comes to him. Father, reveal thyself. Break this mesmeric sense, that I may pierce the veil of separation. Open my eyes, that I may see. Open my ears, that I may hear. Glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee in the beginning. See, that's praying for spiritual substance, isn't it? It's praying for spiritual consciousness. It doesn't matter the words you use, whether you say, I'm praying that the Spirit of God flow into me, or whether you say, I'm praying that spiritual consciousness flow into me, or I'm praying that I awaken to spiritual consciousness. The words aren't important. The thing is that you're not praying for a person, place, or condition. You're not praying from a sense of separation. You're standing in your Christhood, being still, waiting upon the Lord, or the Spirit, or the consciousness to move over the waters. And when it moves, and you're consciously aware of it, there's a release. There's a feeling, oh, yes, thank you, Father. And that's your prayer. It's a prayer of acknowledgement. You have felt consciousness. You have felt Christ. You have felt Spirit. You have felt the only God, your very own consciousness. That prayer is answered. So he says, we are not asking God for anything. We are trying through this prayer to break the mesmeric sense within ourselves until the glory of God, which is already established, can once more be evident in manifestation. Now, when you're standing in your Christhood and consciousness is revealing itself, and that release happens, that beautiful, glorious release, you are released from humanhood. You are released from a universal sense of a personal self. You know you're standing in God because you experience it. You feel it. And you say, oh, thank you, Father. And you remain there for a moment or two as that presence flows. And then that presence forms itself, manifests in your outer experience. Truth, light, love, happiness, joy, peace, dominion, companionship, home, all of these are established within us. Our only task is to let them flow out from us. All of life must become, well, an inner flowing, God manifesting itself, consciousness flowing, Spirit flowing. All of life becomes this transition out of a limited human sense of self, a sense of separate existence, to a standing consciously feeling the flow of oneness. I stand here, yet God is here too, for I and my Father are one. Now, Father, flow, and thank you. standing in our Christhood, in humility, in gratitude, feeling that inner presence, we rest. We step out of our humanhood, which never had real existence. We rest back in our Christhood, feeling the Father's presence, feeling consciousness. And it then outpictures, it flows out. You see, you never could pour out from a sense of humanhood. That's why it hasn't worked. But pour out from your Christhood, and an infinity will flow. Be willing, he says, to take a few dollars and begin to give them out without fear. Learn to pray for your enemy or for those who persecute you or despitefully use you. Forgive even unto 70 times 7. We must make sure that we are fulfilling the demands of the Master, even if we have to wear out our kneecaps on the ground in order to do it. Because, he says, if we have any other idea of God other than omnipresence, we shall have to work to eliminate it from our consciousness. You see, if you have that concept of God where you can go to God with your prayers and somehow move the infinite, then you're going to have to work to eliminate that concept from your consciousness. And if you're going to fulfill the demands of the Master, you're going to have to make a transition from a universal sense of a personal self to that Christ which stands still, grateful as the presence flows and pours out to all within range of consciousness. You either stand in your Christhood and pray, or you stand in your humanhood. But a human, now we know, cannot pray. No human being has ever prayed. Only when you stand in your Christhood, connected to the vine, can the experience called prayer come to you. Now he says there is no way to pray other than to make of oneself a stillness, a quietness, a peacefulness, and a listening ear, because true prayer has neither words nor thoughts. You see, if you're in your humanhood and you're thinking of scriptures or statements of truth and you're repeating them to yourselves either orally or silently, well, you're still working with words and thoughts. If you're closing your eyes and saying, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," and whatever else you're quoting to yourself, you're still working with words and thoughts. You're still in a sense of separation. You're a human being, which God never made. This universal illusion, this universal sense of a separate self, you're standing in that and attempting to reach God, and it won't work. But when you're in your inner self, when you are resting with and in the conscious awareness of the living omnipresence itself, and when that release comes from any sense of separation, and when you rest back and the joy comes to you, "Thank you, Father. Thank you. I and the Father are one in experience right now." As you rest in that, and the silence flows into and through and as your being, and you have nothing now, no words and no thoughts, just the conscious awareness, then consciousness forms itself. You have reached the altitude of true prayer. Standing in your Christhood, awareness of the infinite is what you are, is what I am. That is prayer. And prayer is an inner stillness that waits for God's thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Therefore, let us be still with our thoughts and our ways, and let us hear God's thoughts. And by listening, let us come to know God's ways. And you see, I wrote down here, prayer is not mental. It does not take place in the mind. You know, Joel said to us once upon a time, you must ask yourself, how would you heal if you could not use the mind? And that is more deep than you can imagine. How would you heal somebody if you could not use the mind? And that simple statement of Joel's is a pointer pointing you to true prayer. And so true prayer does not take place in the mind. If there's a thought connected, you haven't reached yet true prayer. And so I wrote here, only by receiving spirit is the sense of separation dissolved. Nothing is ever added to you. Nothing. It's only realized as omnipresent. Yes. Nothing is ever added to you. When you pray, nothing's added to you. This whole concept of going to God and praying for something and having it added to you is entirely a universal sense of a separate self. It's illusion. It's Maya. It's world mind. Isn't that amazing? World mind's been praying in us all this time, and we've never prayed ourselves, our Christ selves. So nothing's added to you. What happens is this universal sense of separation is dissolved. And for a moment, for a second in your meditation, you're released from it. The hypnotism is broken, is dissolved, and you're standing in your Christhood, and you catch a glimpse of that which is. And so prayer is receiving spirit and spiritual substance, and this takes place not in the mind, this takes place in the soul. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Prayer does not take place in the mind. Prayer takes place in your soul. Prayer, says Joel, is that listening or receptive attitude. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. In this state of receptivity, in this state of opening ourselves in humility to the will and the grace of God, whether it happens the first day or the 101st day is not important. Eventually it happens, and we are filled with the Spirit of God. Now again, filled with the Spirit of God is the same thing as saying we are lifted into the conscious awareness of the Presence. One is ancient language and one is modern language, but it's the same experience. You are standing in spirit, standing in your Christhood. So he says, whether it happens on the first day or the 101st day, eventually it will happen. We are filled with the Spirit. There is an inner warmth, an inner stillness, an inner peace. Sometimes there is even a still, small voice assuring us, I will never leave you, or I am here. It does not make any difference whether it comes in words or thoughts, or whether it just comes as a feeling. There is a sensing, a release, and it is an assurance. And I wrote, and then spirit dissolves the universal sense of separation, and harmony is revealed as already omnipresent. Now, that paragraph needs to be studied to the point where you can see, really see, honestly. Well, I have been standing in my humanhood trying to pray to a God out there or somewhere else, some other dimension, and it hasn't worked. A universal sense of a personal self can't pray. So let me find out what Joel means, what Bill means, when they say that I must come up higher, that I must be filled with the Spirit, that I must be lifted into the conscious awareness of the presence, that I must stand in Christhood, silent, still, receiving the Word of God. True prayer, my friends, is Christhood. And standing in your Christhood, in your consciousness of the presence of God, you receive prayer from God. You wait upon the Lord, and you mount up with wings of eagles, which is a very fancy, poetic way of saying that presence dissolves the sense of separation and you awaken to your Christhood, to the fact that God is, omnipresence is, and harmony is omnipresent. And standing in that as an internal experience, not as a thought, a wish, a hope, a statement, a scripture, a set of words, no. Standing in that as an internal spiritual experience, that outpictures, manifests itself, and we call it answered prayer. And harmony is revealed. So, only the Christ can pray. And really, only the Christ can stand still and receive the conscious awareness of the living presence. And how do you know if you've really had that? Because it's outpicturing. It's outpicturing. What did he say it would outpicture as? Truth, light, love, happiness, joy, peace, dominion, companionship, home. All of these. Our only task is to learn how to let them flow out from us. So if you're having those, well, you don't need me to tell you. You know you're standing in your Christhood because you're feeling that presence. But if you're not having those, then you're standing in your humanhood, and the human state of consciousness cannot pray. All right. Says Joel, prayer is attunement or at-one-ment with God. But for that oneness to become realized consciousness, we must go to the throne of God, pure of heart, free of desires, with every barrier removed, seeking only communion. Yes, if you take anything with you into your inner temple, any desire, any want, any wish, then you are again praying from a universal sense of a personal self. Or you're praying from world mind, or your world mind praying. I know it's kind of harsh, but it's true. And so nothing, you can carry nothing into your temple. Which is why you need to practice forgiveness. Not because it's some special thing if you turn from being a bad person into a good one, that's religious nonsense. You must practice forgiveness so that when you come to the temple to pray, you're not carrying that person or that difficulty or that problem into your temple. Because then you'd be carrying this universal sense of a separate self into your temple. And from that basis, you cannot pray. That's why your prayers have never been answered. And so all of that must be resolved first. Then you come to your temple, empty-handed, pure of heart. You turn within, and you're looking to have the prayer of acknowledgement. But the prayer of acknowledgement is not a word or a statement of truth or a scripture. It's what happens when you stop that and stand still and say, okay, all these many years I've been doing all this talking, let me stop that now. Father, fulfill thyself, reveal thyself. Let me stand so still I can hear you. Thank you, Father. And then you rest. Nothing more. Not a peep. Not a sound. Not a thought. And then there's a spirit that flows into you. There's a movement, a quickening. You have the conscious awareness of the living presence. It flows into you. It feels so warm, so wonderful. It releases you. Your shoulders relax. Your whole being relaxes. Oh, thank you, Father. God is. And you rest. It is done. And, like Joel says, you know that God is on the scene. Yes, I know. There you go. You've just acknowledged God is. That's your prayer. Prayer must become that acknowledgement, that inner experience, that release, and that thank you, and that resting. All of that is acknowledging God is. Then, in that resting, consciousness appears as form. The problem is dissolved. The sense of separation is dissolved. Oneness is revealed. Oneness was here before. You couldn't see it standing in your sense of separation. But standing in your Christhood, I see. God is. All is well. I am. And that's answered prayer. That's the true meaning of prayer. And he finishes here with across the desk. And there was a couple of things I thought were important, at least to me. He says, if there are earthly fetters still binding you, you must cease fighting them. Put up your sword and begin here and now to undertake the transformation of consciousness. Yes, nothing you do to fight these problems is going to fix them now. Can you see that? Because you'll still be standing in the universal sense of a personal sense of self, a personal self. It's a universal sense, a universal illusion of a personal sense of self. And so you must stop fighting. Just stop. Stop. Come in here. Enter your Christhood. Wait upon the Lord, and He shall bless you. This brings freedom and peace to the soul, to the mind, and the body. Begin to seek within the awareness of the presence. The presence has been there since before Abraham, but we haven't been aware of it. When you cease fighting, you turn within and ask for that presence, ask that it be revealed, then you come into the awareness of it, and it forms itself. In other words, I wrote, we're not to solve our problems. We're to make a transformation of consciousness. And the transformation is learning to stop fighting, stop desiring, stop wanting. Let the spirit dissolve the sense of separation, which reveals the omnipresence of all good or God. This we must do on an hourly basis, which is why he recommends 12 times a day or more, until it becomes as natural as, or simply a smile. But you know that won't happen until you've practiced this quite a bit. And finally, this is very important. It's one of those cones that you need to take into consciousness. The natural man or human self does not evolve into Christhood. The spiritual man is a separate being, newborn as the old man is put off through the renewal of consciousness. And what that means is not only can the universal sense of a personal self not pray because it has no real life, no real existence, and it's praying to a God that has no real life or existence, but that universal sense of a personal self does not evolve into Christ. Never, never, never. It must be dropped before you enter your temple. And then standing still in your inner temple, as that presence announces itself, you feel it, you rest back. Thank you. This is the Father. This is consciousness. This is your Christ self. And now I'll leave you with the discovery of that which I am, that which the eye of you is. Please go deeper than you ever have before in your understanding and in your practice of prayer. Please remind yourself every time you feel that old universal sense of a personal self turning to God in hopes of influencing or getting something from God. Please remember this talk today. Please remember that only Christ can pray a prayer that is answered. Please make the transition from a human sense of self praying out to God. Make the transition now, today. Pour out from your Christhood. Enter your temple. Stand in your Christhood. I and the Father are one. Father, reveal yourself. Stand still. And whether it happens on the first or the 101st day, have that mind in you, that presence in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it flow into you so beautifully, so wonderfully, so peacefully, so gently, that there's nothing you can do, no response you can give at all, except, thank you, Father. And now I will be still and watch, witness your wonders. My friends, I would that all of you find this pearl of great price. can you not hear the Master's prayer? And Father, I would that they would be with me where I am, and I in thee, and thou in me. Can you not hear him praying this prayer for you? I can. And I feel certain you can too. And since Christ's prayer is answered, behold, your Christhood is.